This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The Large Neutron Collider podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
Everybody, welcome to the Large Neutron Collider, the podcast that's all about the geeky things happening in the world around us and how super excited we are about them. I'm Ariel Kasten, and with me, as always, is the super fantastic Jonathan Strickland.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Ariel. And in return, I have a question for you. Okay, so this is a scenario question for those of us who are familiar with my alter ego Quizster from Ridiculous History. You've agreed to do a 24-hour charity marathon in which you will be playing a video or computer game for the entire duration. Same game for all 24 hours, allowing for breaks for food and bathroom breaks and that kind of stuff. Which game do you choose?
You're asking me to do some big things, Jonathan. I guess I'm going to say Desert Bus, because that is legit a thing that already happens.
Yes.
And I have always wanted to be a part of it. Desert Bus is a video game created by Penn and Teller where you drive a bus real time across the desert. And it veers slightly to one direction. But they every year, a bunch of internet personalities get together and drive it in marathon to raise money for the Child's Play Foundation, which I think is really cool and I've always wanted to be a part. It's not the game I'd pick for funness. That would probably be Mass Effect or Minecraft with my mother. But yeah, that's what I'd do. What would you do?
I think, and just to stick on Desert Bus for a second, I think it takes like 17 hours to make the trip one way. I think it's Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
And if you crash, if you veer off the road too far, you get a flat tire and you get towed all the way back to the beginning in real time.
You can't just set the computer to go in a straight direction and walk away because, as Ariel said, it pulls a little to the right. So you're constantly having to correct for that. So it was made to be irritating and pointless. And you get 1 point every time you go from one city to the other. It just takes hours to do it. For me, well, first of all, I actually have done this a couple of times. I've done it for charity for the Children's Hospital of Atlanta. And both times I played Minecraft for 24 hours straight. I built stuff in the world based upon the donations I got. So if people donated, I would build a monument to them that was fitting for whatever the level of donation was. But if I were to do it again, I think I would actually do Stardew Valley, because I find that game really, really like chill. And I'm just curious how far I could get in just, like, if I started a brand new game and had 24 hours to go, how much could I get done?
But if it were really chill, wouldn't you fall asleep during that 24 hours?
I mean, there's always a danger, but then that can also happen in the game. And if you fall asleep while you're out and about in Stardew Valley, you wake up either, you wake up back at home, but someone has rifled through your pockets and taken all your money, so...
Oh, goodness. Well, not, I didn't know it
not
was
all
that,
of it, but a good portion of it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, you learn some hard life lessons. Okay. Well, gotcha. We got that answered. Well, we should probably just segue right into the show. And we wanted to start off, you know, we went gaga for WandaVision when it debuted on Disney Plus. And now the next miniseries from Disney Plus has started, that being Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And we thought we would do a temp check to see what we each thought of the first episode, because we have each watched it. So what did you think, Ariel?
It was good. It wasn't, it was a lot more serious, and I didn't enjoy it quite. It wasn't quite as fun as WandaVision for me. But I did enjoy it. They did some really cool things with cinematography. They had some people in squirrel suits doing some like paragliding, I guess it would be called, like plane jumping. And they would put the same sort of body cam on them as they would on the Falcon, which I thought was just really cool. It made it feel so much more real to me to see the superhero flying around. There were some cool little minor character drops in there that I kind of spoiled. I'm pretty sure I know how some things are going to turn out based on those spoilers that I spoiled for myself. And it also dealt with Marvel's been doing a really good job with their properties lately of dealing with the repercussions of the snap and little things you don't think about, like the little things that happen in the 5 years between your disappearance and your reappearance. And they did that in Falcon and Winter Soldier in a really cool way. So I liked it. I'm looking forward to the next episode. It just wasn't quite as fun as WandaVision for me.
I agree that it wasn't as fun, but I loved it. I absolutely loved that episode. I loved how they are taking their time establishing the characters and what their current conflicts are. And so far in the series, the two main characters haven't teamed up at all. They are in their separate storylines. But those storylines are really compelling. And I would even say, like, the Falcons is more compelling to me than the Winter Soldiers. I mean, the Winter Soldier is dealing with massive amounts of guilt for the things he did as, you know, a weapon in the hands of Hydra. He's trying to cope with that. The Falcon is trying to help rescue his family's business, whereas his sister is being much more pragmatic and trying to do what's best for her family. The Falcon doesn't want to let go of the past. And I feel like this show is also doing some great stuff in that it is addressing, and not in a super heavy-handed way, but addressing things like systemic racism, the practice of redlining, things that have disproportionately affected people of color. And, you know, in this world, you're seeing that that stuff happens even for the people who are superheroes. Same sort of thing where, you know, the Falcon, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't watched it yet. So skip ahead a little bit if you haven't watched Falcon and Winter Soldier. But he voluntarily hands over Captain America's shield because he doesn't feel he's ready to take on that mantle. And then the impression he's given is that this is going to be held as an object of reverence. But then by the end of the first episode, it's shown that there is a new Captain America, that they chose someone who happens to be extremely white, and it's not Sam. And that also feels like it's another kind of way of dealing with, you know, here's a country that you've got this heroic figure who has given everything to serve his country, and his country is not reciprocating. And I think that that's really compelling too. So I really like that first episode. I'm hopeful that the whole series kind of holds up to this. Let's kind of move on. I think we've got a lot of superhero stuff to talk about. In fact, it's almost all exclusively superhero stuff.
Yeah, and we want to talk about other superhero stuff. It's just been some super heavy superhero weeks. Yeah. So the first thing is, the other geeky thing I watched this weekend was the Snyder Cut.
Oh, yeah, of the Justice League.
Of the Justice League.
So you spent 4 hours and 2 minutes of your life doing that.
I spent 6 hours and like 10 minutes of my life doing it because I kept having to stop and go, wait, when did that happen? Where is this? Mm-hmm. What? Was this in the first one? Oh, I have to pee. Oh, I need a snack. Yeah, it took me more like 6 hours to watch it. But and I took a walk in the middle just so I wouldn't be a couch potato all day. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So, yay, Snyder. But, you know, one of the things I thought about it was, well, it's getting such good reviews and not completely across the board, but it's getting a lot of really good reviews. And I enjoyed it more than I could. Is there a potential that they might try to bring back more of the Snyderverse? You know, he set up a lot at the end of the 4 hour movie, and then we got articles saying no,
yeah, Warner Brothers,
that's not
Warner Brothers have essentially said that is the conclusion of the Snyder trilogy, so setting up stuff like Martian Manhunter is to no avail because we're probably not gonna see that version in future DC. I mean, we might see the character, but maybe not that version of the character in future DC movies. So I have not watched the Snyder Cut as of yet. I just haven't set aside the time to do it. I've seen conflicting reviews. I've seen some people who said it's different, but not necessarily any better than the Whedon Cut. I've seen others who have said it's more coherent than the Whedon Cut, like things make more sense. But it's not, the quippy stuff is toned way, way, way down. So I've seen a lot of different things. I don't have a dog in this fight, honestly. Like, to me, I have a feeling that there's just nothing they could have done that would have made me really interested, simply because this was the continuation of storylines that I already didn't like. So there really wasn't any way of them going forward that I was going to be totally on board. That's my deal. I'm not saying they're bad movies, just saying they didn't appeal to me.
I felt like they each had some benefits over the other. So each had some blind spots that I felt like the other one might have addressed.
Yeah, and almost all the reviews I saw did say that while the film moves along fairly well, it is too long. Although it helps that they've broken it up into chapters, so it feels almost more like a mini series mm-hmm. than it does a full movie.
And I think maybe that's the way Snyder needs to tell his stories mm-hmm. because he does have a hard time. He's got so much story he wants to tell almost always. And my biggest problem with him is trying to fit too much story into too little time. So maybe he just needs to start getting some high budget miniseries.
Yeah, maybe
going.
We need to like somehow do our own LNC mashup of Peter Jackson and Snyder, because Peter Jackson took The Hobbit, a book that doesn't have that much story, and stretched it. And then Snyder's trying to cram too much story into too small of a form factor. Somewhere in the middle is the sweet spot.
But, you know, WB and DC do have plans to continue the universe. Maybe we will get Martian Manhunter. I really liked his design, and I love that actor. But we are getting a Zatanna movie.
Yeah, she's a magician character who has a lot of history in the DC universe. So that's really exciting. And Emerald Fennell is writing it. She's the one who wrote Promising Young Woman. I'm guessing, Ariel, you have not seen that movie.
I haven't. I wanted to, and then it just fell off my radar. It's, you know,
I mean, it's a brilliant film.
It's a heavy movie.
It's a brilliant film. Mm-hmm. It is a heavy film. it's dealing with some heavy stuff. But a brilliant movie. And so interesting that someone who wrote something so visceral and heavy is now writing a superhero script.
Well, you know, Zatanna is often a part of, you know, kind of the dark universe DCs.
That's
so
true. She has the hookup with Constantine.
Swamp Thing and
yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing we didn't mention, but I just want to give a quick shout out to, is that despite the fact that we got a Snyder Cut of Justice League, it looks like we're not going to get an Ayer cut of Suicide Squad. So the Suicide Squad that we got, the theatrical cut, that's the only version that we ever expect to see. And I have feelings about that too. I don't know that I would have liked the Suicide Squad original version. I definitely didn't like the one that came out, but I'm guessing that.
But I'm very much looking forward to the new one.
Well, yeah, because that's going to be, that's going to be handled by someone who can tell a story and hopefully not have it chopped up by a movie trailer studio, because that's what happened to the first one. Switching back over to Marvel, though, we have another quick Disney Plus announcement, which is that there is already an announcement of a spinoff of a series that hasn't even come out yet. Right. So Hawkeye is getting a spinoff before Hawkeye even comes out on Disney Plus.
And this one should make you really happy because the spinoff is about Echo, a.k.a. Maya Lopez, who is a Native American woman who is hearing impaired. She usually shows up as a supporting character in Daredevil, who you have been wanting to come back so bad.
Yes, I would love to see Daredevil return to the MCU. I think that the first season in particular of Daredevil, it really set the stage for some incredible Marvel series. Now, granted, the Marvel series we got post Daredevil and Punisher and all those have not been nearly as bloody as Daredevil was for good reason. But I would love to see Daredevil brought back in. Echo has a superpower where she's able to copy the fighting style of whomever she's going up against, which makes her very similar to a character named Taskmaster, who is the villain that will be appearing in the Black Widow movie, assuming we ever get it.
We will. We will. There's news that that's probably going to come out on D+ and in theaters at the same time. That's wasn't on our list of news items, but it did come out this week. And the last news item we have is about a comic book series called Berserker. Yeah,
there are no vowels.
B-R-Z-R-K-R.
Yeah, vowels are for other heroes. Yeah, this is a comic book series that was created by Keanu Reeves. And he, of course, has been attached to appear in both a live action film and an animated series that are both have been optioned from this comic book series. And the short version of it, Ariel and I decided that it's John Wick meets the Highlander because it's a
or Vandal Savage.
No one knows who that is. Or the Highlander. Highlander. So
yeah,
immortal warrior type who at this point is just looking for a way to get some rest.
Mm-hmm. So the comic was originally kickstarted and it was produced by Boom Studios. And I looked up Boom Studios because I'm not always super familiar with some of the smaller comic houses, but Boom Studios has done some comics that I like, specifically the Buffy series. I've really enjoyed those comics.
Like season 8 and season 9 and that kind of stuff, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I'm very excited to learn more about all of these things. You know, I'm still kind of curious about why Ayer wouldn't get a Suicide Squad recut. I mean, with the success of the Snyder cut, I would have thought that might lead to other possibilities. That does not appear to be the case. Maybe if there's enough uproar, there will be. I honestly don't care enough. I'm just curious what Suicide Squad originally was going to be and whether or not I would have liked it. I don't think I would, but I definitely don't like the theatrical one. So, but
again, there were some things I liked, but overarchingly, I did not.
Now, one thing that Ariel and I both like is to wallow in the good old nostalgic entertainment that we enjoyed years and years ago. And it turns out we're not alone, but we're going to talk more about that after we take this quick break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, we're back. And as Jonathan said, we're going to talk a little bit about nostalgia. So this week, it was announced that Family Matters viewership soared about 400% in 2020, which is amazing. Family Matters is one of my favorite sitcom shows. And so I was super excited to hear this news. And it's one I feel like has transcended time a little bit, because even kids nowadays know who Steve Urkel is, right? And he was a big pop culture nerd who was oftentimes very unapologetically nerdy. And I feel like he kind of introed the way into the geekdom we have now. So that was really awesome. But apparently, like, because we haven't had a lot of new media, people are just watching their old favorites over and over and over again.
I think that's part of it. And I think another part of it is that there is so much comfort to be found in watching something that you're already familiar with, right? Like, I don't know, Ariel, has this ever happened to you where, let's say you've got some spare time, you want to watch something, you take a look at the stuff that's on your queue, there's a ton of stuff you've never seen before, but you find yourself drawn to something that you've watched a bazillion times already?
Yes, yes. And it's oftentimes when I want something a little distracting, but I don't have to pay a whole bunch of attention to, so I've done it with Friends. I've done it with The Office. I've done it with Family Matters, Full House, Schitt's Creek, How I Met Your Mother. Yep, all those. I'll just put it on. I've watched it 1,000 times, and I'll just put it on because it's like going home to family.
Yeah, well, for me, it's going home to a dysfunctional family because I think of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as one of my go-tos. Yeah, no, I'm the same way where, like, there's a whole meme about this, right? About the idea that you've got like 500 titles on your list of things you've never seen, and they're readily available. They're just a click away or a remote button push away or whatever. All you have to do is start it. And instead you are like, well, let's rewatch season 3 of The Great British Bake Off or whatever.
Oh, I can't do that one. I'm so invested in the bakes and I'm always trying to learn something new. Like I have to like zone.
Well, I don't mean to get off track already, but Ariel, you know, recently I have spent a lot of time looking up just clips, not of British Bake Off, but of MasterChef, just clips of people doing really well. Because I don't like the parts where people fail. So it's like I'm watching a show where nobody does anything wrong. Everyone always is on their A game and impressing Gordon Ramsay. That's the master chef that exists in my world.
That's really interesting to me because you don't want to watch anybody fail, but your go-to comfort show is Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is just all failure.
Yes, but those are awful human beings who deserve terrible things to happen to them, right? Like it's like that. That's, and it's all fictional. I can enjoy that. In fact, for a long time, I wasn't able to enjoy it because I have a thing about cringe humor. I'm not super fond of it. But for me, the cringe comes in when I have a great deal of empathy or sympathy for a character, and I don't want to see terrible things happen to that character. It's Always Sunny freed me of this terrible burden by making all the characters reprehensible. So you want to see terrible. Like for the longest time, I didn't want anything bad to happen to Charlie, because in the first season, Charlie just seems to be downtrodden. He doesn't seem to be bad. Yeah. But then as you get a little further in, he is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. As I mentioned, all the shows that I tend to go back to are all sitcoms, but they're more lighthearted sitcoms. But still, the humor in those shows does come mainly from people's failure.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though. That's usually where comedy comes in, right? Comedy usually comes in where, like, the saying is, you stub your toe, it's a tragedy. You walk off the edge of a cliff and it's a comedy kind of thing. Where it's this idea of subverting expectations and typically setting people up to have whatever thing they were trying to achieve fall through in a unexpected way. And that leads to the comedy. But, and then how they handle that also leads to the comedy. But I am curious, like, are there any particular titles that you really leaned on heavily during pandemic where we just didn't have the opportunity to get out? Or was it just the sort of the ones you had already kind of listed off?
I did go through a bunch of shows that I hadn't had the chance to watch. I made myself take some discipline. And I said, here are the series, here are the movies that I've wanted to watch during pandemic, and I'm going to do that. But then when that was done, when I'm like getting ready for bed and I'm just trying to shut off my brain, or if I've had a particularly rough day and I just want just something chill, I think it's been The Office, which is really weird because when I first started watching The Office, I did not like it. I didn't. The entire first season where they're trying to be the British office, I thought it was mean-spirited and belabored. And then you get into the second season and everybody starts to have growth. And there's still episodes of The Office that are largely cringy that I can't stand to watch. But I'm so familiar with it at the point. And part of it is because my husband also will put it on and just watch it. So I'm so familiar with it that I kind of tune out those episodes or those moments that really make me cringe and tune in on my favorite moments. We also rewatched Buffy and are currently rewatching Farscape.
Okay. Yeah. I did a little bit
other than Always Sunny?
And I haven't, to be perfectly fair, I haven't watched any of It's Always Sunny during pandemic. It's just that was my go-to for a while when I wanted to watch something that I had already seen. In the pandemic, the stuff I've watched the most, actually, you know what? I haven't watched that much television programming. I watched a lot of stuff that creators were making either on Twitch or YouTube or whatever. But whenever I would watch television, it tended to be a British comedy series, which is terrible because you'll go through them in like 2 days and then you just got to start over again. So Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, if you've never seen that, it's bonkers crazy. The premise is that there is a Stephen King-like writer named Garth Marenghi, who has an extremely high opinion of himself. He's a dream weaver. And there's a television series that was created. It's a fake TV series, but the idea is that it's a television series that was created from his works, and he, being the egotistical person that he is, stars in it as the main character. And it has a lot of British comedy actors in it that you would recognize from other stuff. Like Richard Ayoade is in it. Matt Berry is in it. It is a very silly take. Stephen Merchant is in a couple of episodes. Noel Fielding is in a couple. So yeah, it's a really,
but British actors are all in everything.
It's a small group of a really tightly knit group, but it's really silly. It's ridiculous. Like it's really making fun of like early 80s British TV and the limitations on things like special effects, but everyone's treating it like it's the most cutting edge stuff ever. And the other one I watched a couple times through was The Mighty Boosh, another British comedy series. At least that one has four seasons. So little extra to watch in that one. Very, very weird series as well. But yeah, those were kind of like my go-tos. And it was because, I mean, I'd seen them all so many times. I can still get enjoyment, even though I know exactly what's coming, because the quality of the performances and the weird writing, the British humor is just so strange, which is one of the reasons I love it so much. Those were my go-tos.
I like going to nostalgic things a little bit because it brings back those feelings of before being stuck in the house.
Yeah. Too. Yeah.
So I think about, you know, watching these older shows and I go back, like, I think about going out and hanging out with my friends and watching it or talking about the episodes, and it's kind of like a little mini brain vacation.
Yeah. One thing I had thought about doing, I just never got around to doing, was doing like, you know, like a Netflix watch party, because that capability is built right in to a lot of the Netflix apps. But I never coordinated with friends to do that, to kind of watch something collectively and then talk about it. And I think part of the reason for that is that it just feels like everything we do is through Zoom or Teams or, you know, some other video conferencing system. So it ends up feeling more like work than socializing. And it just ends up being exhausting. At least that's my armchair personal psychology approach to why I haven't done anything.
Now I get it. I've done a few watch parties, and we tend to just do it on voice. We watch the TV on whatever streaming platform we're using. Most of them have a watch party feature now. And then we'll connect on Discord or over the phone, and we'll just chat throughout it. Because you know me, I love being in front of a camera, but it's just relaxing to be able to just sit and talk and not have to worry about making eye contact or how I look, or if I've got pizza in my teeth, or
it is tough to make eye contact because it means you're looking into a camera, not actually looking at the picture of the person you're talking to, which is usually several inches below wherever the camera is. But yeah, I mean, like I totally get the whole nostalgic, comforting experience. There's some element of ritual there too. Like the idea of doing something you've done before and being able to go through it. You already know what to expect. There's not going to be any surprises. So nothing's going to tax you psychologically. I get all that. So I'm not really super surprised to see that these numbers are so high. And good for them. I mean, and good for all the people who are discovering stuff for the first time. Like there are younger audiences who may be watching this kind of stuff for the first time ever. So I hope that they're enjoying it.
Well, I think good shows tend to come around. You know, they might be dated, but they also have timeless concept and relatable humor, no matter the age. For instance, one of the shows that had great viewership was The Andy Griffith Show.
That was dated by the time I watched it. I was amazed that Jabberjaw wasn't on there because that's a real work of art.
I don't know if you're joking or not, but I actually did enjoy Jabberjaw. So
it was between Jabberjaw and Grape Ape that I was going to say.
Liked them both. And Droopy Dog and Wacky Races and all that. Snagglepuss.
Now, you know what else I liked?
What?
Charlie Brown.
I still like Charlie Brown.
Me too. You know how much I like Charlie Brown?
How much, Jonathan?
Enough to mash him into somebody else.
That's so mean.
Yeah, but you're the one who picked it. So we're going to do a mashup after the break where we take Charlie Brown and mash up Charlie Brown with a classic English literary figure. I bet you'll never guess who it is who lives at 221B Baker Street.
Well, you gave it away now. We'll be right back.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, we are back. And we chose to mash up Sherlock Holmes and Charlie Brown. And to give you guys a little bit of a behind-the-scenes view of how these sort of things come together, usually we look at the news and see if there's anything in the news where we can mash stuff up. But obviously this time we were covering so much superhero stuff. And we're like, we've done a lot of superhero.
And we've done so many superhero mashups.
Yeah. So we started kind of thinking outside of that and saying, well, let's just pick two things that we wouldn't normally put together and figure out how would we do that. And so Sherlock Holmes is one we settled on pretty quickly, but then we had to figure out what the other one was. And my initial reaction was dumb because I was like, oh, Scooby-Doo. But then you're like, but that's already like two things that do the same thing.
Yeah. And then you said Smurfs. And I was like, well, then all we're going to be doing is replacing every third word with Smurf. And we're both going to do it.
Which is hilarious.
But when one person does it, when two people do it, it's a bit Smurfing much.
It would have been 15 minutes of Smurfing.
We're a family show, Jonathan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean Smurfing. I meant Smurfing.
Smurfing.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I said, well, what about Charlie Brown? Because, you know, we're talking about nostalgia.
Yeah. And so for those who don't know who either of these are, where have you been? Sherlock Holmes, obviously famous detective created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Lots of stories, four novels written by Conan Doyle and multiple novels written by other people since then. Been in series and films. Everyone knows who Sherlock Holmes is. And then you have Charlie Brown, famous comic strip character made by Charles Schulz, star of beloved specials and cartoons. So things like, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas special is still one of my favorite cartoons of all time.
Mm-hmm. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Another fantastic one, one of my favorites. So yeah.
Something that also comes back around because it's had a movie recently.
So. Yeah, that's true. So let's see. Who do you want to go first?
Golly. I guess I can.
That's the confidence I like to hear.
Rearing and ready to go. All right. Sherlock Holmes in The Great Pumpkin Taketh Away. One brisk fall evening on 221 Baker Street, Mr. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson got a mysterious letter. It stated, "Please, Mr. Holmes and Mr. Watson, come to the Brown House, St. Paul, Minnesota. We have something dark and mysterious going on here, and we need your help desperately." Signed, S. Brown. Surprised and egotistically delighted, Sherlock immediately packed up and headed for America, bringing Dr. Watson begrudgingly in tow. A day later, the two masterminds walked up to the door of a modest house with yellow, maybe it was white, maybe blue, siding. They rang the bell, but no one answered. They rang again. Finally, a young boy with an oddly round head and a furrowed brow came out. He hesitantly began to introduce himself. "Hi, I'm Charlie Brown. Can I help you?" But all of a sudden, he stopped, stammered good grief, and ran inside, slamming the door. They turned to look to see what could have scared him so. But all they could see was a young auburn-tressed girl. Nothing seemed odd about her, and they decided that following her would just be a red hair-ing. And that's when they heard it, from around the bushes. A psst, barely audible above the sounds of some chirping yellow canaries nearby. Were canaries local to Minnesota? The duo didn't know. But they did follow the psst. Upon tracking the sound, they saw a beagle sitting on top of a doghouse. They must have been hearing things, so they turned to leave, but then they heard it again. Psst. Turning back to the noise, they saw the beagle and one of the yellow birds stuck into the doghouse. The dog going into his house wasn't weird, but the bird following him certainly was, and Sherlock, much to Watson's chagrin, decided to follow. Squeezing through the doghouse door, they found themselves on a large staircase leading into the dark. They followed it down, and at the bottom of the staircase was a bunker filled with maps, notes, science equipment, and monitors. All of the monitors were looking at one place, a quiet pumpkin patch. There was a tug on Sherlock's pant leg, and as he looked down, the beagle handed him a letter. It started, "My name is Snoopy. I wrote you the letter to come here. Thank you for coming." And through the letter, and an intricate game of charades and a tour around the doghouse bunker, Holmes and Watson learned that the town was being plagued by a creature called the Great Pumpkin. Over the years, it had been a childhood legend that most of the town didn't believe in, but this year was different. Every night, the entire town, and not just the children, would go and bring all of their greatest belongings to the field to give to the Great Pumpkin, hoping in its arrival. But it never showed up. However, in the morning, when the townsfolk awoke, all of their belongings would be gone from the field. Snoopy believed this was the doing of his arch-nemesis, the Red Baron. Sherlock, feeling a kinship with this remarkably intelligent dog, offered to help. Watson asked Sherlock, "Where might we even begin?" And Sherlock answered, "Elementary, dear Watson." Long pause. Sherlock continued, "Literally, we'll start at the elementary school." And that's where they headed. And indeed, things were weird there. The kids were all large and round-headed, and the adults were unintelligible. Sherlock didn't have much experience with children, so it took him a while to learn that these children were all, in fact, just kids, big-headed and all, but he did notice something particularly odd. The kids were having a fundraiser. The fundraiser was selling cans of Red Baron branded pumpkin, and according to the goal chart on the blackboard, all the children had been successful in selling canned pumpkin to the whole town. And this was particularly odd because Red Baron only sold frozen pizzas. These frozen pizzas were a secret pleasure of Sherlock's when he was alone in his studio. No one knew about it. So they opened a can and noticed trace amounts of scopolamine, which, if you don't know, is a way that people can use to make you extremely suggestible. Sherlock knew the villain must be using it to make everyone believe in the Great Pumpkin so that they could get their belongings and valuables and such. But who would have such knowledge of the mental condition? They returned to Snoopy, who confirmed that there was no therapist in town. However, there was a small psychiatrist booth run by the class bully Lucy. It was then that they knew they had found their culprit, but now they had to figure out how to get her to admit to her diabolical plan. They had noticed Lucy eyeing Charlie Brown, that awkward boy they first met when they came into town. So they commandeered Charlie to flirt with her and offer her a muffin laced with some of the pumpkin in it. Lucy, being a proud person, accepted the muffin offering and ate it in one bite. Upon doing so, Holmes jumped out and got her to spill the beans all about how she wasn't a kid of the town, but really Snoopy's arch nemesis, the Red Baron, how she felt she deserved all of the good things the town had to offer her, but the town never appreciated her, and so she took it into her own hands. Upon her confession, she was sent to detention, and the pumpkin cans were destroyed. The mystery being solved, Sherlock and Watson returned to England, but Sherlock and Snoopy remained pen pals, helping each other solve the occasional mystery. The end.
Very, very cute. There are going to be a couple of common touch points with mine.
I figured as much.
So mine is Sherlock Holmes and the Beagle of the Baskervilles. Spoiler alert, there's a spoiler in the title. Okay. Sherlock Holmes has a problem. He's been summoned to Dartmoor to investigate reports of a giant hound terrorizing the countryside. His friend and biographer John Watson has joined him. Watson, being slightly more inclined toward flights of fancy, worries that perhaps the moors are truly haunted by an impossibly large spectral hound, a hypothesis that Holmes finds quite unsupportable. But more than that, Holmes has a bigger challenge on his hands. It seems that shortly after his arrival, a carriage carrying a bunch of kids got stuck in a muddy patch on the road through Dartmoor, and then it broke an axle. The kids, a group of Americans, are all curious little people. One, named Linus, Holmes immediately deduces has severe anxiety issues, as he relies heavily on a security blanket as a coping mechanism. Linus's older sister, Lucy, seems to be a bit of a brute. Then there's a rather disheveled child named Pigpen, who seems to attract all the various flies in the surrounding area into his orbit. A rather musical young man named Schroeder is also part of the gang. Then there's an energetic young gal named Sally in the mix. And finally, there's a rather hopeless fellow called Charlie Brown. Always Charlie Brown. Never just Charlie, and Peppermint Patty isn't there, so there's no Chuck to speak of. The coachman, who was looking after the children, asks Holmes to keep an eye on them while the coach needs repairs. At least that's what Holmes thinks the coachman said. In truth, the driver spoke in such a way, like a muted trumpet, that it was quite impossible to make out what was really being said. While at first irritated, Holmes soon comes to the conclusion that the children might prove useful. Being a long way from home, Sherlock doesn't have access to his assortment of irregulars who would normally gather up information on his behalf, and so he names this odd assortment of children his new irregulars. Tasked with great purpose, the gang begins to help Holmes investigate. There is a great manor house in Dartmoor, and Schroeder finds himself there and encounters an amazing piano, upon which he plays a truly stupendous piece by Beethoven, which impresses Holmes a great deal. Lucy, meanwhile, sets up her own psychiatry booth, and through interactions with the locals, begins to learn more about the general thoughts about the Moors. It seems the people of Dartmoor are particularly superstitious, and many seem all too inclined to accept that there is a ghostly hound haunting the area, though at least one fellow, a man named Jack Stapleton, seems a bit dodgy. Lucy charges everyone 5 cents, and then later complains that all the nickels she got are funny looking. Linus and Holmes have some pretty deep philosophical discussions, and Linus is also quick to dismiss the ghostly dog hypothesis, believing instead that the creature haunting the moors is, in fact, the Great Pumpkin. And so Linus decides to sneak out at night to wait for the Great Pumpkin's arrival, and the next morning he is nowhere to be found, but a little blue blanket is discovered half buried in the mud, with a very large paw print next to it. Pigpen also disappears, but that just happens every time he steps outside because he blends right in with the mud and the moors. He's fine, though. Sally mostly just irritates John Watson a lot. As for Charlie Brown, he investigates as best he can, but being a bit clumsy, he is usually told to get out of the way after breaking or nearly breaking a vase or a window or a bust or whatever. And so Charlie Brown, while walking by himself and wondering if he'll ever be good at anything, stops to lean against a tree. Except it turns out it's not a tree. It's actually a support for a clever camouflage. As Charlie Brown leans against it, it causes the whole thing to come tumbling down, just as Sherlock is walking by. Holmes says, "You've done it! You've solved the case!" And indeed, revealed beneath the brush is Snoopy and Woodstock. And Jack Stapleton, plus a pair of very big, very fake dog paws. Yep, turns out Snoopy, Woodstock, and Stapleton have been playing a bit of a prank on the locals. And while sheepish, they get off easy, particularly once the group finds Linus a mile down the road in a fetal position. But he makes a swift recovery once his blanket is returned. At the end, Sherlock Holmes turns to Charlie Brown and says, "Charlie Brown, out of all the irregulars, you're the irregularist." The end.
Oh, I loved it. I felt like there were two stories in the same anthology, yours and
yeah.
mine.
Yeah, it's two different. It's a what if comic book where your story is the right side up version on the front, and then you have to flip it over upside down on the back, and then that's my story.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was fun, but obviously just two different, slightly different takes on how Sherlock Holmes and Charlie Brown would mash up.
We had completely different villains.
That's true. We just had mentions of some of the common touchstones, but that's to be expected, right? Like, you have to have those touchstones in there. But if you out there have any suggestions, or maybe you have your own idea of how this mashup would go, you should get in touch with us. And the best way to do a long form one would be email lnc@iheartmedia.com. But there are other ways to get in touch with us, aren't there, Ariel?
Yeah, you can reach out to us on social media. At Twitter, we're LNC_podcast. And on Facebook and Instagram, we are Large Neutron Collider. And please do reach out to us. We want to hear your opinions on the things we've talked about, topics you want us to talk about in the future. We love having that conversation with you.
Yep. And as always, if you enjoyed the show, you should make sure you like it, you know, give it a good rating somewhere, you know, maybe subscribe to it if you haven't, you filthy animal. And
tell your friends, you're not so filthy animal.
We're getting a little Christmassy, and we're well outside the Christmas zone, but I couldn't help it.
All right. Well, until
awkward pause.
Awkward Snoopy pause.
Nice.
I have been Ariel Kasten.
And I am always Jonathan Strickland.
The Large Neutron Collider is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by Ariel Kasten. Jonathan Strickland is the executive producer. The show is produced, edited, and published by Tari Harrison. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.